subject, I think when you stand in this position, you always feel a little unsure, you know, because we're just sinners. I mean, really, what right did I have to stand in this position? I'm already starting. I didn't mean that to my subject there. This might be pretty. You might feel raised today. I'll be going to Ephesians 2 here in a bit, but I want to start my subject off by telling y'all that it's funny when me and my kiddos are here at the church working, whatnot. It's funny what I feel the Lord tells me. The other day, a week or two ago, we were mowing, and I forgot my headphones. But sometimes I like to listen to music when I'm mowing. And I forgot my headphones, so I didn't have anything. So the mower was just all I heard. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, about just life in general. And something popped in my head, and I don't know whether it was of the Lord. You know, the Lord talking to me at His house. But it said, to tell them about the hurt, the pain, and the forgiveness that I felt. So, kind of my testimony, I guess. So, which wasn't my subject prior to that at all. So, I had to change my direction a little bit. And, anyhow, this is... So, when I was a... I was not raised in what we'd consider a godly family. Everybody says what everybody else does in the world is, I believe in God, I believe there is a God, but there's no action. There was no action behind that statement. You know, we never went to church, anything like that. So I didn't know God, really, you know. I mean... you know, my father was a good man, but probably by many standards, probably an alcoholic, you know. So, anyway, that I'm not blaming that for what I'm about to tell you, but when I got out of high school, I had dreams of grandeur and being a rodeo man. So I started running the rodeo circuit. I found out real quick you couldn't make no money rodeo. So anyway, I started working construction where I met a lot of different individuals and couple of individuals I started running with used substances. For about 3 years after that, I was a drug addict. I'm not going to... The things that happen in that world are, well, I'm not going to get into that. It's a world of lying, stealing, cheating. But I want to say something. I want to tell you about an instance, and probably the most PG instance I can, because there's children in here. But there was a time when I was cutting rebar, and we had just torn down a bridge. And so there was piles of rebar everywhere, Dick, you know, come about an inch and a half rebar, which is bigger around as my wrist almost, you know, it's big. Well, it has been wadded up, and was, anyway, we had to go cut it up, but it was all tangled up in together. At lunch, me being just the person I was, I had ingested some stuff that was not good for me. I'll just leave it there. So I came back to lunch, and we were cutting with cutting torch, this rebar, right? And there's a big mangled mess of rebar. And I wasn't paying attention because it wasn't of my right mind. And some of this probably had to do with the last month Brother Larry's been talking about decisions. You know, so I cut this one piece of rebar not realizing. If you've ever cut metal with a cutting torch, you're basically just making it molten. You're turning metal molten. So I was cutting this rebar with this cutting torch, not paying attention to nothing, that this piece was under a major amount of stress, and it was curved up back over and went into another piece of concrete that was, you know, probably weighed 20 tons. So it wasn't going to move. When I cut that piece, it sprung back, but what it did, it had sprung forward. And a molten piece of inch and a half rebar went right into my belly. Right here above my belly button. Now, it went in, because I'm not the fittest of persons, so it went in about an inch and a half into my stomach. And probably being molten, seared its way to stop. When I stood back and looked in the hole, my shirt was on fire, and I had no idea what I was about to do. One, I had made a decision to ingest something that if I said anything about that, I was going to get fired. Because when you have an accident, you have to have a drug test. So I decided to ask the foreman. I wasn't feeling well. I ran down to the drugstore and got salve and filled that entire hole with salve and Band-Aids. For the next 6 months, that hole slowly filled. But my point is this. The decisions you make, they're going to hurt you. They can scar your family, whatnot. But I think that day, the Lord stopped that rebar from going all the way through me. This thing was under a lot of tension. In fact, I had to pull myself out of it. But with the help of my father, some municipalities in the state of Texas, and my God, I got clean from narcotics. And moved to my parents' farm and got right. Saying that, you know, you think you jump a hurdle and you're clear of the world, but the world's going to throw darts. You know, I stand here today just a man who has made a lot of mistakes, but the Lord still loves me. I feel His love around me. I feel His love around my family. I feel y'all's love around me on a daily basis. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, when I moved away from the farm, I met this gal, my wife. You know, I loved her because she had a kindness about her that I'd never known. But I was never brought up in the church. I think I went to church one time prior to that, but it was probably just I believe there was a girl that went there, you know, thought that was, you know. So I think the Lord gave me Jody as a gift to say, get to church. You know, the love that he showed me from the decisions I had made to the decisions he almost made me make. You know, he pointed a path for me to get better, you know, to get my life together somewhat, you know. I have one more scripture here. It said Hebrews 6. I'm sorry, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us help in time of need." You know, that's what, you know, as a church, that's what that you folks do. Brother Bryce said it last week. Brother JT said it several times. You're my best friend. You're my kindred well, you know. I believe that even though I'm a bankrupt sinner, I just thank the Lord for bringing me and my family to this church that y'all have shown me so much love, and that the Lord has shown me what the difference in His grace and mercy is. And decisions they leave scars, but that the Lord will forgive us for our wrong and bad decisions. Thank you.
God's angels encamp around them that fear Him. We may not behold them, how we can like shifting sand, lest I should stumble, bear me up in your hands. Good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Very thankful for the things that we have heard this morning. I remember one of the first or second times Buster and Sister Jody came to church here,
And just something said, we need them. We really do. And I was fearful because I know there were another church or two that would probably felt the same thing. But it felt like we need them. And thanks be to God, the Lord brought them here and has blessed us together to enjoy these things. I asked Brother Buster to start this morning, and he said, you're probably not on your mind what's on my mind. Well, I'm thankful that there are angels round about us. I don't know. This is a subject matter that I know very little about. But up till today, that has not stopped me from entering subject matters that I really don't have a lot of knowledge of. But for some reason, that rebar stopped. And I'm just of the persuasion that there's angels round about us. And that we don't see them. We may witness things that happen and relate that to angels, but they're everywhere. We all have angel stories, and that's one of my favorite things for people that really do have angel stories, for them to relate that to me. We used to have a couple. We're going to go over 11, so everybody get ready. I mean, 12, so everybody get ready for it. Okay, Lord willing. We used to have a couple, two sisters that came to church here, and one was a nurse, and they were close, a lot of resemblance, and so they told a story to me one time about that their mother was really bad sick, and nigh unto death, and they were in the hospital room, and she was just failing quickly. The doctors didn't really give her a lot of hope for tomorrow. And they said about 10:30, 11 o'clock, a nurse came in, attractive lady. She had the white scrubs and all that on, little hat on, and she began to take care of their mom. And they said the moment she got in the room, their mom seemed to revive somewhat. And matter of fact, they said she stayed for probably 45 minutes caring for her mom and wished them a good day and left. Doctors came that next morning, and their mom, he said, it's just a miracle. Just a miracle that has happened, that your mother is doing so much better. And they said, you know, it was strange. About that time, the nurse in white, and he said, a nurse in white? They said, yeah. He said, our nurses don't wear white. They wear blue scrubs like probably most everybody does. And they began to realize that they had been visited by an angel. Now, if that angel had human blood flowing through it, or if in fact it was something very special that God had sent, they probably never would know. I believe that God sends angels into our midst, and most of the time we're totally unaware of their presence. We sometimes see the effect, but we really don't see sometimes where it comes from. I have experiences driving where the Lord just really saved me from a horrible, horrible wreck. And there was no other explanation other than there were angels in the room. If you want to turn, first of all, as we go through this subject this morning, to the first chapter of Hebrew, we'll look toward the end of that. And this probably is as good of a definition of angels that I can find. First chapter of Hebrews, look at the 13th verse. Now the 13th verse is a relation or relates the 110th Psalm. And the 110th Psalm in the first two verses says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, if you don't look at that in the proper respect, then you probably don't understand. The Lord is talking about God Jehovah sitting upon his throne. He said, the Lord said to whom? My Lord. I believe that's Jesus Christ. I believe in a loving, personal sense. He is in fact not only the Lord, but he is my Lord, personally. Thee, Lord, said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now, obviously, this was after the crucifixion. This was after his burial, after the resurrection and the final ascension into heaven, where the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool. That day is coming. That glorious, glorious day is coming where the enemies of my Lord are going to pay the price of being an enemy of my Lord. But look what it says in the 13th verse. But to which of the angels? Now, there is a heavenly host that God has made that are angels unto Him. And I'm going to tell you, now some of this is speculation, but some of it's based upon solid fact. I believe the angels are spirits. I don't believe that they have a physical body. We see a reproduction or sometimes the beautiful paintings of angels. Most generally, they are large, large creatures with wings. And the one thing that they do have in common is that they're all white. They're all brilliant. In that situation, I have looked at those beautiful pictures and just lost myself in it. Then realizing why in the world would angels need wings? They go where God sends them, and God doesn't need a propulsion system to get them where He wants. All He does is demand command, and there they are, and they're with us. So in this situation, they may be masculine, they may be in gender, and I'll tell you in just a little while why probably we look at them as of a masculine or male gender. I'll tell you that in just a little bit. But in this situation, the angels come to where His saints need help. Look at the last verse. Here's the question. Are they not all ministering spirits? That's probably as good a definition of an angel as any definition I've ever heard. They are, the writer of Hebrews says, they are ministering spirits. They are designed for God for a particular, specific reason. And here it is. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth by whom? God Himself. For what purpose? To minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, who's that? Well, that's you, friend. That's me. And what it's saying, that shall be heirs of salvation, that final time will come when the last appearance on this earth of angels takes place. Go with me just real quickly into Psalms. Let's see where it is I want to go. Go to the 91st Psalm first, okay? One of the things that we need to understand is that the word angel is used for several things, and the specific definition for it changes somewhat. An angel ministering spirit, but also if you looked in the first chapter of Revelation over into the second chapter, it refers to angels. And those angels there is the pastors of the church that the seven letters went to. They're referred to as angels. There's also, if you will, an angel of the Lord. In my humble opinion, sometimes when that's used, that's talking about Jesus Christ. But sometimes it's not. And we have to be real careful about how we want to place that, because if you're not careful, if you look at every angel of the Lord being Jesus Christ, it doesn't take long to get in the box. And that box is hard to get out of sometimes. So in that situation, we have to look at it. We have to understand it. Look at this. 91st Psalm. And I know this is mine and probably some of yours favorite Psalm, and we want to go into it for just a little while. 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Now, when we go here, please look at this without a closed mind, but look at it with an open mind. Number one, it very well may be talking about us. Okay? But there's some verbiage in here that makes me wonder if in fact it's not talking about David, or if in fact it's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't want to try to nail it, one way or another, because it needs to be able to flow however the Lord allows it to flow. Look what it says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that. Now, if that's talking about us, great. But I wonder sometimes in that situation that David's not referring to someone else. Go with me. David said, I will say of the Lord, He is, and I think David's talking about himself right here, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And in that is some of the most beautiful sayings of our relationship with the Lord Himself. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, I will trust in Him. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And I wonder sometimes, that's not talking about us. That's not talking about David. Surely He will. He says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Here's confidence coming. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Some of you that have young people in your homes and all, you know, that's really kind of a scary deal for a young person. The lights go out and we've made it as comfortable as we can, but yet it just seems like there might be some things that go bump in the night. Please understand, young people in the congregation, God has angels round about you. We're going to go there in a minute. I'm going to show that to you. Go on with me. He said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come thee. Going down to the 10th verse. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Look at this. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Friends, today, your steps, your problems, your situations, God has angels round about you to minister unto the very needs that you have. I want to go real quickly. I don't want to wait long on this. I'll forget it. Go to the 18th chapter of Matthew. 18th chapter of Matthew. Let's see where it is I want to go. Go down to the 10th verse. I heard this scripture years ago. And a very dear, dear friend of mine, and an excellent minister that pastored church, Elder Jerry Newman, pastored a church in Duncan and Purcell, Oklahoma, and he used this one day. And I every time I would see him, I'd ask him to repeat it because I wanted to make sure I saw it. Look what he says. 10th verse, 18th chapter. Take heed. Now, this is the Lord, a Sermon on the Mount. And it's just full of beautiful things. Look what he says. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. What's he talking about? He's talking about the children at his feet. He's talking about the young ones that there. He says, take heed. Be careful that you despise not one of these little ones. And that word despise, if you look at that, that means to hate. That means to have absolutely no use for. Be careful, he says, take heed that you despise not of these little ones. For I say unto you, here is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He says, for I say unto you, careful attention, that in heaven there are angels. Now who are angels there? That's the little children. For in heaven there are angels. Do you not know, do you not understand that your little children that God has blessed you with physically to bring forth into this life, they've got angels. And that angels are not mom and dad. They have beings, it's spiritual beings that care for them and love them. And look what it says. That in heaven their angels possess it. Their angels do always, without question, without error, without a constant moment that they're thinking about anything else. He said, for their angels do always what? Behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. The angels that's assigned to our children that are guardian angels unto them, their face is always toward the Lord Himself, Lord God Jehovah. They have seen Him and they minister unto the very needs that your children have. Go on with me real quickly to the 34th Psalm. 34th Psalm. Sixth verse. I love this. This is probably as intense and as caring of a scripture that there is. He said, this poor man cried. And who's David talking about? He's talking about David. He's talking about himself. He said, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. Look at the blessing that man cried out. The Lord heard him. What does that mean? That means that man's the Lord's. And the Lord hears his cry. You ever think you get in a position or place to where the God doesn't hear you? Brother Buster just gave us an example of a lifestyle sometimes that it would just seem like the Lord never would. But you know what? The Lord had him in his sight. The Lord, he was the Lord's. He said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In the next verse. The angel of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you. If you want to look at that as being Jesus Christ, I don't have a problem with that. If you want to look at that being another angel, I don't have. But whatever it is, the angel of the Lord, the specific angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, says, encampeth round them. Yeah, look at that word encamp. You know what it means? It means stationary. It means it's always around them. It means there's not a moment that they're not there ministering unto that child. He said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round them that what? That fear Him. May I ask you a question this morning, and it may be somewhat personal. Do you fear the Lord? I heard Elder Mike Ivey preach a sermon. I'm sorry about all this. People in Abilene last week just made me sick. No, actually, I was sick when I got there. But Elder Mike Ivey preached one time about fearing the Lord, and in that is reverential respect, but also in that is fearing the power that He has. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round them that fear Him, and what? Delivers them. Ever been delivered by the angel of the Lord? Ever been in a terrible situation? Maybe your life was going to ruin. Maybe your life was such that there was nothing nothing beneficial, nothing positive going to happen. But in that situation, the angel of the Lord was around you. And the angel of the Lord, that you feared the Lord, and the angel of the Lord delivered you from that situation. I want to go now to where really my subject matter has been leading the whole time. And I want to go first of all to Luke. One of the greatest instances of angel activity comes just in this situation. We'll celebrate Christmas here in another week. Monday after next Sunday is Christmas time, and we'll celebrate that. Be very honest with you, we don't know that's when the Lord was born. We don't know the date. You know, I just tell you my feelings. Sometimes I get a little concerned when we want to sing happy birthday to the Lord, because we don't know when the Lord's birthday is. I don't mind singing it, but let me tell you, we don't know. Don't tell anybody that Brother Webb said next Monday, a week from tomorrow, is the birthday of Jesus Christ. We just don't know that. But it's better for us to celebrate a day of the birth of Christ than it is to forget about it altogether. Just to pretend it doesn't happen.
To have an axe to grind about that whole situation, I get so tired. I don't know how many years I got left, but I just don't have time for that. I really don't. It's time to move on to some other things that mean more than what that does. But in this situation, there were things that happened and occurred that brings our mind and our attention to great activity. First of all, it was to Mary. Go with me the first chapter, and let's look in the 25th verse. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me, says Mary, in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And that was Elizabeth. And the 26th verse says this: and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Doesn't take much to identify that, does it? Doesn't take much to say what's happening. There was a specific angel, and the name Gabriel means man of God, obviously male gender in this situation, but he was an angel of announcement. He's announcing, he's telling those involved of the situation. He says, in that sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused, not formally married yet, but espoused to a virgin and not known man, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and in the virgin's name was Mary. I'm sorry. You get the picture. Gabriel is sent. Gabriel comes to one individual. You believe in election? You believe in choice? If you don't up till now, there's a prime example right there. I'm certain there were many individuals that would have fit that need, but the angel was sent to one man. Who sent him? God sent him. God sent the angel Gabriel, a man of God, a ministering spirit, to come right to that little woman, right to that young lady. How old was she though? That's speculation. But I doubt she was 17, 18 years old, but whatever it is, here he is. And he has come for one reason. And that one reason is to announce unto her that which is about to occur. 28, the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I don't know that you can find a place where those that are gaining the knowledge or the help of the angels, that they're not fearful. In this situation, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Didn't say she was surprised at him. Didn't say she was fearful of him. But what it does say was she was concerned about what he said. Look back what he said. Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Again, she didn't say he scares me to death. She didn't say I don't know what he is. What she says is, I just don't understand what manner of communication is it, what the angel is trying to tell me. And the angel said unto her, 30th verse, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Look at this. He shall be great. This is a pronouncement of an angel, Angel Gabriel. Gabriel says unto Mary, He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Let me tell you, that proclamation from an angel to a young maiden, as we read it today here in December of 2017, it ought to give us hope. It ought to give us understanding that all of this is just not so important about what we give to each other is that how we receive the blessed message. Bless Hunter's heart. I love the prayer that he prayed the last Saturday, Sunday I was here. You know what he said? Lord, don't let Brother Webb worry so much. I don't know that he had quite understood what my wife said later. Larry doesn't worry about anything. He's the one that's going to say that's going to be all right. I'll say it today. It's going to be all right. But in this situation, our minds, when we hear this, shouldn't run to a tree with presents. It ought to run to a manger with a babe. Oh, what manner of salutations. He shall be great. Be called the Son of the High God. Look at the 33rd verse. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. You know what he's saying? His reign is without end. His reign is not going to have a cessation. His reign is going to continue. And it says he'll reign forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel of announcement tells her this: "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore shall also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And listen to the instruction. The instruction is, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You ever just been by yourself? You ever just spoke that name? You ever just said that name? The world's going to torment. Your world is just turned upside down. We just stop because there's a name that we can call upon and we shall find peace. Jesus. The name Jesus. Go with me just real quickly back up into Matthew. Let's look at the first chapter. And I want to, for time's sake, find out where I want to go. Let's visit with Joseph. First chapter, 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this way. This wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You get the picture? She's with child. Evidently, from the man's thought, this is a horrible, horrible situation. And by the law, Moses' law at that time, he could have had her stoned to death at the gates of the city for that situation. But there was angel involved. Said Joseph, but her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, you ever had just a real, real problem? Real bad problem, and you began to think about it, and you know there's no real way you're going to get out of this, and all of a sudden, from an unseen source, an unknown place, the answer to the problem comes. That's what Joseph was doing. He's thinking about how am I going to handle this? I have options. How am I going to handle it? And as he's debating this, as he's just turmoil within himself of this, here comes the answer. He said, but while he thought upon these things, behold the angel of the Lord. Now, here's a prime example. If you're going to call that Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. You know why? Because he's talking about the birth of Christ. This is that same angel that spoke to Mary. This is Gabriel, and it's not announced in this particular scripture his name. But that same angel appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph, from an angel of the Lord in a dream, here's the answer to your situation. Joseph, she has been faithful. Joseph, she has been overcome by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, she will bring forth an immaculate conception. I believe in that today. I hold on to that. Joseph, in this situation, it's of God. And the angel speaking to him in a dream takes away the cares and the worries that he has. Go with me to the second chapter of Luke. Go down to the 8th verse. It says, and they were in the same country. I'm in the 2nd chapter, 8th verse in Luke. It says, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. May I tell you that this had been happening for generation after generation. This was a family situation. These were men and families that were intertwined, and they were watching over their flocks just as they had. But this was a very special night. And the purpose of this night is going to be brought to them in a very, very spectacular way. In the 8th verse, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, watching over the flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord. Boy, that angel of the Lord is busy, isn't he? I mean, the Lord is using him in specific situations. Go talk to Mary. Go talk to Joseph. Go talk to Zechariah. And be there when this announcement comes, that you can tell those that don't understand, that have no understanding of what's going to happen, that you can be there and you can be the announcement of the glorious thing that has occurred. That you might tell these men that don't know about the Messiah, that don't know about this situation, that you might tell unto them of what's happening and why it's happening. And lo, the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What an announcement. What a proclamation. The angel of the Lord, fear not. First, take fear out of your situation. Fear not. He said, behold, see it for yourself. See what's going, what is happening. He said, I bring you great tidings, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And here's the proclamation. 11th verse. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This day, the announcement comes by an angel. Let me ask you this. There were a host of angels, and they were singing praises to our Father in heaven. We can't even begin to understand the glory of that singing. May I commend you on your singing. You sound great. I love it. But we don't even hold a candle to that which is occurring in heaven and immortal glory, which occurred there on the hills of Galilee. The whole time, the angels, the proclamation, this is a glorious time. Church, this is a glorious time. Don't care how much you got left to do. I'll be honest, I really don't care. No, I'm serious, I don't care. I don't care. You got a lot to do. I don't care. My wife and I, our Christmases have morphed into La La Land. It's wonderful. She goes and works, and I stand by. I mean, buying gifts, and they're doing all this, making preparation. I stand back and watch them, and then I say to her, you know what? None of our family is going to be around for Christmas. Why don't we just run off? You know, I'm thankful my life has got to the point that it doesn't take very long for us to decide for Christmas we're going to run away. Oh, I got a cell phone. I got an iPad. I mean, you can get me if you need me, but to be very honest, we're getting out of here. The proclamation is such that it has been coming. It has become so fretful. It's become so worrisome. It's become so depressing sometimes. Then we just have to have a break for it and remember, here's what it's about. Angel of the Lord came upon them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here's how you're going to find him. He'll be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's where you're going to find him. You're not going to find him at the busy malls. You're not going to find him at other places. Where you're going to find him is exactly where he was when the shepherds came to see him. He was in a manger. He was, in fact, Emmanuel. He was God with us. And I'll be very honest with you. There were angels all round about. And they were singing praises to God. Why? Because of this glorious, glorious event that had just occurred. There's the child. View him for a season. See him. Leave your worries behind and come to the house of the Lord. Come to the city of David. Come to where he is and look upon his face. Mothers, I'm sorry. You have never seen a baby more beautiful than this baby. You have never seen one that the glory of God shone round about. You've never seen one that is such a sweetheart of a child that is designed for a purpose. And that purpose is that you no longer will be separated from God. That you now can approach his throne. You now, because of the temple, the veil being rent, you now can approach his place. In 5 minutes, I'll be free. But go to the 25th chapter of Matthew. I studied, I Googled, trying to find what was the first incident of angel activity in the Old Testament. And it told me about a situation, and I don't believe that angels involved. I believe there were seraphims and other things made by God that's involved there. But I know the last one. I know the last one. Look at the 25th chapter. Look at the 31st verse. Lord telling of that final great event that will have angel involvement. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, praise be to God, there's a day that Jesus Christ himself will descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming again, friends. That's what this is all about. He didn't leave us without a comforter. He didn't leave us without help. But when he went home, he promised without question, his promises are fulfilled. And he promised, I'll be back. I'll come again. Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. You know what that means? That means every one of them. That means there's not any going to be left. That means he's bringing them all. And they're all coming upon this earth. And they're coming for a specific purpose. And it says, and before him shall gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his what? Right hand, but the goats on his left hand. And then shall the king say unto them, come unto me on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. Look at the 44th verse. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not unto one of the least of these, did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Last incident of angel involvement is when the Lord himself comes and the angels come with him, the host of angels come with him, and they bring those souls and spirits, and they're brought again into the bodies of the saints of God, and the bodies are resurrected in purity and holiness. And then something's going to happen. Because of that babe in the manger. Because he grew and waxed strong. Because he died upon the cross. Because he came to save his people from their sins. Because of all that, ascended into heaven, sit down upon the right hand of God, being ready for the moment's notice that time shall be no more. And when he comes to take us home, here's what's going to happen. Though the angels sing beautiful songs, though the angels have ways of singing that will just make us stand in awe of the songs they sing, for that moment, that time, the angels will have to step aside. Do you know why? They are not redeemed. They are not purchased. They are placed here for your benefit. And they'll have to step aside. And the saints of God, the bride of Christ, shall enter heaven and immortal glory. And we, praise be to God, for because of the babe that was born and the man that died, we'll sing a new song. We'll sing. You don't have to rehearse it now. You'll know it when you get there. And we'll enter into that place. And the angels will step aside. And the saints of God for all the ages, those that have suffered, those that have suffered far more than you and I could ever think of suffering, we'll enter together. And we'll be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." And we'll enter there. And time here upon this earth shall be done away. And we'll be with him forever, singing praises. The announcement of his birth came from an angel. The angels were there when he was born. The angels gave direction for the wise, for the shepherds, and they came to see where he was. The angels have given us direction and given us benefit throughout the ages. And one day, those benefits will cease because we will see him and we will see him for ourselves. We'll be satisfied. Play a game with me. When you get through opening every present that you've got, think seriously. Think deeply. Am I satisfied? And some will say, "Well, I was really hoping I'd get..." And some will say, "Well, this is not going to be the right size." And some will say, "Well, I'm not crazy about the color." Let me tell you, friend, it is for sure coming Monday morning when it's all over with, not everybody is going to be satisfied. You know how I know that? Because Tuesday, there'll be a giant flux of people going to the stores to exchange stuff they're not happy with. But praise be to God. We'll be happy when we get there. We'll be satisfied. There'll be no armchair quarterbacks. There'll be nobody thinking bad things. We'll be there together. That's why it's so important here upon this earth for us to get along, us to love each other, us to bear one another's burden, us to pray for each other, us to make sure that others that are not as fortunate as we are, maybe we can try to help them some way. That's what it's about. Next Sunday, if the Lord still does like we normally do, we'll go over the Christmas story, okay? And we'll start, because what we desire is every man in the congregation to know how to bring that to the children. And if your home doesn't have a man, the person that's there in charge will know how to do it, will know how to bring it, will know how to tell their children, will know where to point them to in the Scriptures. And we'll be happy about it. And we will relive the story. We will stand in the glow of it one more time. One more time. I thank you for your attention and ask you to pray for me and mine when I'm in front of grace. We stand and sing some suitable hymn. If you have a desire to join the church, this is your opportunity. After we sing a verse or two, we'll greet each other, shake each other's hand. Anybody have a selection?